The reading is from Exodus chapter 23, beginning to read at verse 14. And if you've got a church Bible, it's on page 81. 3 times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the Feast of Harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field. 3 times a year, all the men are to appear before the Sovereign Lord.
Evening. Everyone all right? I am absolutely fine until Simon handed me the remote control for the words on the songs. And then my heart went into a flutter and I was like, oh, crumbs. People can see your mistakes there. I have made another mistake this evening and I'll come on to that in a moment. You'll see it. So, first of all, just to clarify, even though we're looking at the Harvest Festival this evening, there are still plenty of days left before Christmas. You haven't missed anything, even those of you who were at New Wine. So, you know, time's not sped up. We're not at the end of September where we normally celebrate harvest. We're usually, we're looking at holy days and holidays in this current series in the evening service. And I was also just thinking that we are really cranking up the Old Testament at the moment. I think it's really great, you know, getting into some might say obscure, others would say less read passages, and it's a great opportunity to look at some of the things there. So last week, if those of you who were here, we had Sabbath rest, which Stu talked about, although in my notes here it says which Stud talked about, so I'm guessing that's a typo. and next week we've got Passover, and this week we're looking at the harvest celebration, which is one of 3 crucial holy days for God's people. So don't panic, there's plenty of Christmas shopping left. And as we've already heard, the Olympics started yesterday. Great. I love being able to watch some of the more obscure sports like archery and badminton and trampolining. And I just think it would be great if they put all of those together. when I checked, purely for research purposes, I did watch some of the sports this afternoon. And Australia were, I think, at the top of the table. Russia have already won a gold medal, and I'm sure that guy has been tested for everything and anything. I don't know, does anybody here have an Olympic medal? An Olympic medal? No? No? Yes? No? No? Ah, right. Well, tonight I brought my medal. Well, that's the mistake I forgot, actually, because I did leave it at home. So if you'll just go with this. Although mine, admittedly, it's not an Olympic gold medal. And in fact, it's not an Olympic medal. In fact, my medal that I should have brought is my Richmond Park 10K medal. Great. Does anybody else have a Richmond Park 10K medal? Hey, look, it's not a competition, and I'm at the front, so it's okay. But people are, you know, not really as excited as if it were an Olympic medal. And do you know, an Olympic medal, gold and silver Olympic medals, they both are 92% silver. And a gold is actually only 1.5% gold. And it's about 3 grams of gold wrapping around it. So the value of an Olympic gold medal is really based on the purpose that it's been created for. And I guess that's probably the reason you're not as excited about my Richmond Park 10K medal, because I didn't get to stand on a podium. I didn't have a national anthem played for me. It's actually really quite easy to get one. You sign up. You pay your fee, as long as you cross the start line and the finish line, That's it. And you don't even have to be that good. And the last time I did the 10K there, there were two ladies who kind of given up and were just walking. You could see in their heads they were heading for the ice cream van. But and I'm sure Jessica Ennis wouldn't really get on very well if she'd have given up and just decided to walk her last events. But much like an Olympic gold medal is special because of what it's been set apart for, which is the very best competitors in their field, it's the same really with this concept of holy days. And I mean, what makes a particular day holy? And we were singing it earlier, you know, this is a holy moment. And the Bible tells us that God is holy. Holy in the sense that he's perfect, he's blameless, he's spotless. And the Bible also tells us that about things being made holy, as in they're set apart for a specific purpose and given a special status. And back in Genesis, and Stu touched on this slightly last week as well, God sets the seventh day apart and sanctifies it as holy because he rested. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So he set that apart that day and made a specific day holy. And if you weren't here last week, Stu was great and you can download it. Okay? And Stud was pretty good as well. but surely if God is holy and he created all things, and all the days that are ever going to exist, then surely every day is holy. But that raises a bit of a problem for us because, you know, if every day is holy, then it's a bit like everyone's a winner. So here we go, everybody. Let's get your Olympic gold medals. And that's just not fair, really, because effectively no one's a winner in that situation. So some things really are set apart and made special and holy by God. But this whole concept of, from the Old Testament, of holy days, comes from this state of separation. This separation between God and his people, where there's a world that has fallen into sin and become separated from the maker and the sustainer of all things, where they find themselves lost, desperate, despairing, and God keeps stepping in to meet their needs. And I realize that the image of the gap between a tube train and the platform is not a perfect image, because it's very easy for us to cross the gap between a platform and a tube train on our own. But the gap that exists or existed between a holy and perfect God and a fallen creation is something that can't be crossed on our own. Now, most of the holy days that are mentioned in the Old Testament are remembrance of celebrations of God crossing that gap to clean up the mess and be with his people. And they're special events to remember and to remind the people that he was their savior, who redeemed them from slavery, that he's promised to care for them, provide for them, and over the future, and that he has provided for them and been with them. And the Jews, you know, they were told to celebrate the festival of unleavened bread there in verse 15, which is the Passover, when God came and redeemed his people from slavery. They were told the festival of harvest, which is the first fruits of the crops. As a reminder, it's at the start of the harvest and it's a promise. I'm going to bless you. So let's just remember that at the start of things. And then there's, at the end, the festival of ingathering, which is referred to as the tabernacles. And that's as a sign of looking back, saying, wow, thanks for all the blessings and everything God has done for them. And the harvest festival is a big celebration. It's a run over a week. All the men were expected to go to Jerusalem and celebrate with the first fruits of their crops in anticipation of what God was going to give to them. And when I was prepping for this, I found some interesting bits. And one of the interesting bits is in all of Israel's history until around about 50 AD, The people of Israel, the men of Israel, had been to Jerusalem. All of the men had been to Jerusalem, and they'd never been attacked on one of those festivals. It's just quite incredible, because, you know, if you're a Syrian or something like that, you kind of go, hey, caught with their trousers down. That's the right time to do it. But it never happened. And the harvest festival is this sign of God's continuing promise of provision for his people, and it's an opportunity for them to come and say thank you to God for that provision. And the people of Israel, they didn't always have land or a home. They needed food to live on, and God provided that food. And that's just a symbol of the provision, really. He also provided food for their spirit and every other need. He provided protection, security, identity, purpose, and a name. And knowing how forgetful human beings are, or at least how I am, because I forgot this medal, God created holy days to look back and help them to remember that he has saved them, that he promised to be with them, and that he's constantly providing for them. For Harvest Festival, the Jews were commanded to give the very first fruits of their offering. The very best bits were to be sacrificed and presented to God as a sign that this is just a foretaste of the amazing blessings God has given to his people. And again, as I was prepping, I was struck. You know, this ties in with tithing, and I've recently gone running my own business, and I was really aware. You do it at the end of the year when you're running your own business, and you see how much you've got and how much you can give and everything like that. And I was really struck as I was thinking about it that actually it does change the at least for this year. It does change your approach to that, as opposed to kind of setting aside money and to kind of living on what's left. It's quite different, but that's just an aside. So they were asked to give the very best, and it's a chance for God's people to come and say thank you in anticipation of how God is going to bless them. And again, another bit I'd missed is that this is not an optional. It's not a suggestion. Hey, God's having a party. Turn up if you want to. It's a command. And it's a communal obligation to remind the entire people of their need and their focus, that their longing and their hope and their confidence is found in God. God alone. Now, traditionally, when we celebrate Harvest Festival in the UK, it's usually at the end of September, and we celebrate food being gathered in, which is actually more like the Jewish Festival of Tabernacles. Thanks for everything you've given us. So this is slightly different. But we're encouraged to bring, even in that situation, an offering which is some form of expression of our thanks to God. But all of this separation stuff, that was kind of all before now. But you see, now the Holy Spirit's here. We're not in this separation state anymore. God is here dwelling among us, and there is no big gap. Though I'm sure you've all heard or seen that analogy before, that, you know, God is right here standing beside us, and if we're here facing the wrong way, it seems God's nowhere near us, but he's just stood right behind us, and we're looking in the wrong direction. But overall, theologically, there's no gap now between humanity and God, thanks to Jesus' death, resurrection, and the Holy Spirit being with us. So for us now, there are days that God has set apart as holy, but we have been set apart as holy. And therefore, every day should be a holy day. The Holy Spirit leads us and transforms our every moment as we give him control. Yet we still have specific days where we specifically set apart by God, and tonight's reading has told us about some of those. But while for the Jewish people, you know, the festival, Harvest Festival, was a communal command to stop and give thanks, you know, prepping for this got me thinking about, well, really? Do we really need Harvest Festival now here in Kingston? I mean, in the Bible, For the Jews, it's all about God providing for their needs and keeping them safe, keeping his people safe and providing for them. But, you know, now we've got Sainsbury's and the police. So, you know, do we really need God? And are we aware that God is our provider? And that he wants to bless us and spend time with us. So just got me thinking about that area. And yet I am convinced that God is our provider. And I know it doesn't always seem like it. If you're stuck on a hot, sweaty tube coming back from London at the end of a long day, and you're working yourself yourself to pieces to make ends meet, it maybe doesn't seem like God is your provider there. And it can seem like God's a long way off, and we're having to do all of the hard work. If God's our provider, why am I having to clock in? That kind of mentality. But, and I think, you know, could do more analysis on that. But I think it's really important to remember that God is providing for our every need. We've got to work hard on that journey, but God is providing for that. And God's providing for the needs of the church. It's not Simon and Stu and the team providing for the church. It's God. It's not you or us. It's God. That's providing for our every need. And yes, we do have to do our part and work hard. And when we're dealing with some of the typical kind of the first world challenges, just for fun, go and Google first world challenges. There's some amazing examples there. But, you know, we're struggling, like when we're booking a holiday, do we want to go to Italy? Well, we've been there. Or do we want to go to Spain? How big a pool do we need? All those issues, it can seem like a million miles away from the desperate state of homelessness, slavery, that the Israelites had been through, and why this comes from. And it is a million miles away. But yet we still have so much more to be thankful for. And I'm sure you've seen that writing or heard that talk before that says, you know, if you've got food in the fridge, money in your wallet, money in your bank, and you can read the notice, then you are in the richest 5% of people in the world. And it's amazing, really. This image is taken from a blog by a Californian-based sommelier, you know, a wine taster, in a fancy restaurant in California, who recommends which bottled water will go best with their meal. Now, the cheapest one there is $25, and the Beverly Hills 90H2O one is currently going at about $45 a bottle. I mean, I just go, really? Really? Wow. That's just mad. And the fact that there's a sommelier, you know, doing this kind of thing. And what about our safety and our security? You know, Simon mentioned it this morning and Stu mentioned it last week. You know, we may not have the same challenges, but there was a woman on the radio who was being interviewed after the Catholic priest had been murdered. And she was just making the point. This is shocking and terrible. But there are thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Christians across the world who live with that potential each and every day. It's, you know, they don't have the peace, the security, the freedom to be able to worship and express their faith. But we do have that. And even though Western Europe is going through some challenges at the moment, we don't have dictators trying to wipe out entire people groups. And then right here in lovely Kingston, as Sangeeta was praying earlier, you know, we've got some amazing, beautiful lands. We've got amazing parks. We've got the fantastic river, some great architecture. We have so much to be thankful for. It really ought to be a joy for us. And we shouldn't need God telling us to come and be thankful and reminding us for all the good that he's done. I take it all for granted. It's called, you know, psychologically, it's called normalization, where you get used to something. You get used to that state. And it's only when you change your situation and you realize, oh, crumbs, there isn't a Starbucks within walking distance? What is going on? that you start to become aware of your need. So the Harvest Festival is a God-given command. It got me thinking about, look, how do we react when someone tells us to do something? I'm thinking on how should we approach the Harvest Festival nowadays and what kind of celebration are we bringing to God? And I decided to try and bring this to life with a gift, okay? So I brought two food gifts with me. I should tell you, I'm okay in the kitchen. I'm a modern man. I know how to cook. So I've got a couple of food gifts. This is a bit of audience participation, which I realize won't work on the internet recording. But who wants to receive one of the first gifts? Any volunteers? Okay, great. So the first gift I brought, okay, is it's here. It's a slight bagged up selection of our leftovers this week. Okay. It's only a sample, but I'm going to open it up here so that you can get straight into it. Okay. And there's a little bit of sweet potato in there. Oh, it smells nice. Yeah. There's some sweet potato. There's a bit of half leftover beef burger with ketchup, an egg shell. It's double bagged. Okay. It's definitely a full balanced diet. I think there's some yogurt in there that was a few weeks old. Great. There you go. So what about my second gift? Who wants my second gift? Anybody? Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much. So I decided to make a cake. It's not a cake from recycled food, don't worry. It's a normal cake. I'll tell you, in case you have intolerances, it's got flour and eggs and sugar and butter and chocolate in it and sprinkles. And look, it's quite a nice little cake there, okay? And I do cook, but I'm not great at following recipes, so it looks all right. I made three of them. We had one this afternoon, and it works. You see, it didn't take much effort to bring the contents of the food recycling. It did take effort of persuasion to convince my wife Helen that it was a good idea. But it did take some effort to make a cake. It took some time. It took some resource. It took some of my energy and focus. And and I feel quite pleased with it because I don't bake very often. So it got me thinking about what kind of gift we're bringing to God and also how we're bringing that offering. And it's a bit like the story of the widow's offering, which I'll just summarize. Where she has two pennies and she brings them and she drops them into the temple offering, and Jesus says, that is the biggest offering because she gave everything she had. And that's compared with the rich guy who gives abundantly, extravagantly, and in high quantity, but he can spare it. And so it makes me think about how we're giving. Let me give you another analogy on the food front. You can tell what I'm occupied by. and maybe you've done this kind of thing in the past. You start hunting around. You start to have a bit of a clear out of the cupboard. And so you start hunting around, yeah? And you go behind the baked beans and the dried noodles, way back behind the tinned sardines and the dried and crumbling noodles, etc., and all the chickpeas you keep in case the vegetarian comes. You get to the stuff where some other stuff that you manage to prize away from the shelf, and then you check the date, and you give it a quick rub, and there's a 6 at the end of it, so you think you're in luck. And then you realize it's 2006 or 1996, and you think, oh, crumbs, and it's probably like some, you know, you only have those things that you buy for emergencies, just in case somebody comes in and it's, you know, follow my analogy, it's maybe meat pie filling, which is pretty gross because it's not designated as beef, it's just meat. And you start to think, this is awful, I'll throw it in the bin. And as you walk past the fridge, you see the calendar, and it's got there, you know, St. Paul's Harvest School celebration. Yeah. Oh. Nobody really knows. Doesn't really matter, does it? It's going to go to the homeless anyway. So, and, you know, maybe it starts you to think about what you do with that. Just as an aside, I love adventure and activities and things like that. And you might have heard of Shackleton's failed expeditions to the South Pole. About 70 years after one of his failed expeditions, they went and they found the hut that Shackleton had set up, and they found within it lots of cans. And some of those cans was meat pie filling, okay? And they opened it up, and they ate it, and it was fine, okay? So that's not my point. but it's just an aside, because I quite like that kind of thing. But anyway, so you might give it to the homeless, but you will need it yourself. Or maybe you're the other kind of person who's very organized, and you just buy what's needed. So you see the sign on the calendar, and you think, oh, harvest celebration. Oh, crumbs. You don't have a Fray Bentos pie filling in the cupboard. You've already missed the Ocado order. So off you trot. And you decide to go out and get something. And you go past Waitrose, and maybe even past Sainsbury's, and even past Tesco's. You can see my own hierarchy here, can't you? And you end up... You end up in a place that starts with A and ends in ZD. you don't usually spend much time there, so you get a little bit lost, maybe. You wander around, and eventually you find yourself buying from the value range, the essentials range at Asda, and maybe they sell meat pie filling, I don't know. And there you are at the checkout filling your... you know, carbon neutral, recycled, organic, bag for life with the essentials range from Asda. And now, obviously, they're just stories, and they don't probably fit with anybody. But I just think it's worth thinking about our motivation. You know, are we willing? What are we willing to give? And do we give the best to others that we would give to ourselves? So what kind of offering are we bringing, and how are we bringing it? Because we're asked to give the first fruits in anticipation that God is going to bless us. So are you bringing the very best of what you've received? Or are you bringing the small change? Are you coming in thanks with joy through the good times and the bad times? What's your offering like? I've had times where I absolutely knew God would provide for me, and he cared for me, and he wanted to bless me and give me a life that was better and more than I could ever imagine. And in fact, my favorite verse in all the Bible is John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. But there are loads of times when I've forgotten it. And it's become more run of the mill. It seems to have lost its power. So I'm challenged myself about what I'm bringing. Am I bringing a life that is having it to the full? Am I bringing out of that sense, or am I bringing out of the scrimping and saving myself? Because I'm aware that I need to come in anticipation of what God wants to do for me, what God wants to do in me, what God wants to do through me, those aspects. And the other thing that I'm reminded of is it's not optional for us to come in thanks and worship to God. It's a command. And I like what it says here in Peter, you know. It's a command because you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And I'd just like to ask us to dwell on this for a moment. And I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit weird. Maybe you could just look around church and look at people as I read this again. Because you are a chosen people. Not just me, but you. We're all a royal priesthood. We're all a holy nation. We are God's special possession, that we might declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We've got so much to be thankful for. We really should definitely be giving thanks to him on special holy days that are set apart for a specific purpose. But I also think we should be seeking to make every day special and holy by bringing an offering of ourselves, of our thanksgiving to him for everything that he's done for us. So, shall we pray? Father God, thank you for everything you give us. Thank you that you love us beyond our imagination, beyond our wildest understanding, that your passion and desire is to shower us with love and to give us a life that we could never even imagine on our own. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you do bless us. I thank you for the way that you have blessed us. I thank you for the way that you will bless us. Father, would you help us not to sanitize our life and set aside days where we keep some days holy and the other days we do the other stuff? Would you help us to bring holy days into our everyday and into our holidays? Would you help us to bring holy moments into our waking and our being, into our relationships, our thinking, our doing, into every aspect of our life, that we might know your presence with us in each and everything. Amen.